Okay, we are in Genesis chapter 36 today, and we saw last time, I talked about it a little bit. Genesis 35 was like the last main chapter that really focuses on the life of Jacob himself. From this point on, once we get to chapter 37, the story is going to refocus to the story of Jacob's sons primarily, especially Joseph. But before we get to that, chapter 36 is kind of stuck in there to talk about Esau, the brother of Jacob, and where he goes from the point that we've read about him already. We talked about this as we've gone through the book of Genesis, that there's a phrase that kind of refocuses the story. You can see it in chapter 37. When you get to verse 2, it says, "These are the generations of Jacob," Joseph being 17 years old. And whenever you see that phrase, "these are the generations of," it kind of refocuses the story here. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. And now from this point on, the main story is about Joseph. Same thing in chapter 36. It says, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who was Edom." And throughout this chapter, who's the focus? Well, it's not Jacob anymore. It's Esau. So this is not a deeply spiritual chapter. If it is, it's gone over my head. Okay. This is a historical record, mostly. It's the story of the people that came from Esau, mostly. What we're going to do, we're going to read through this chapter, and then I'm going to come back and comment on it piece by piece. So just starting in verse 1, it says, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. And Adah bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibamah bare Jeush, and Jaalim, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatim, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel: Nahath, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau Jeush, Jaalim, and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau: Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatim, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adah. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son: Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife: Duke Jeush, Duke Jaalim, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who was Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land: Lotan and Shobal, and Zibeon and Anah, and Dishan and Ezer and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Horai and Hemam. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these: Alvin and Manahath and Ebal, Shepho and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah. This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these: Dishan and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishan: Hemdan and Eshban and Ithran and Kiran. The children of Ezer are these: Bilhan and Zaavan and Achan. The children of Dishan are these: Uz and Aran. These are the dukes that came of the Horites: Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibeon, Duke Anah, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Horai among their dukes in the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozra, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Peu, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places by their names: Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth, Duke Aholibamah, Duke Elah, Duke Pinan, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mibzar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Irem. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Okay, there are a lot of names there, and it would probably be really interesting to do a study on what all these names mean. We're not going to do that. You can do that in your own time if you want. I'm sure it would be interesting. Some of them really jumped out at me because they're mentioned in other places in the Bible. One of Esau's wives, her name was Aholibamah. There are some very similar names to that have like the same kind of prefix. I think of Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, that's mentioned later on when he's working on the tabernacle. That first part means a tent. But anyway, I'm not going to focus on what the names mean. I'm going to focus on what in the world did we just read in this chapter. Because we see like all these groups of names, and then we see the same names repeated a bunch of times. And I'll be honest, this is one of the most confusing chapters in the whole Bible. And I made this paper that I gave as a handout. I made this not so much for you, but for my own sanity, so that I could make sure that I understood what this chapter was laying out, in order to be able to teach it. So we are going to refer to this a little bit. I'm not sure how much, but I would recommend you look at this page on your own. especially if you need to refer to this chapter when you're trying to understand something. Okay, let's talk first, go back to the first section. So the first section, verses 1 to 8, he says that the generations of Esau, who was Edom, and it gives kind of an epilogue of his life. We know what happened when he sold the birthright to Jacob, and then Jacob got the blessing, and then they, after Jacob comes back, they meet together and they kind of reconcile. So we know those bits about Esau's life, and then we see kind of the rest of his life here. It's summarized very shortly. It mentions his wives. This is where it starts to get really confusing. Okay, so it says, verse 2, Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Okay, here's the problem. The problem is, all three of these women are mentioned earlier, and none of them by the same names. And one of them with two different fathers. And I tried to kind of map this out a little bit, but let's go back to Genesis chapter 26. We'll see what I'm talking about. So again, his wives of the daughters of the Canaanites, you have Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite. Okay? This is what it says in Genesis 26, verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. What's going on? So Beeri the Hittite isn't even mentioned in chapter 36. And also, it says that Bashemath was the daughter of Elon the Hittite. But then you go to chapter 36 and find out the daughter of Elon the Hittite is Ada. And actually, Bashemath is a different wife. What's going on? I can't really say for sure. The one that's easiest to line up is the one that's the daughter of Elon the Hittite, because her father is very clearly stated. So that Bashemath that's mentioned in chapter 26 has to be Ada. She's called Bashemath in one chapter, she's called Ada in another chapter. However, you get to chapter 28, and verse 9, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So then you have the daughter of Ishmael, who is called here Mahalath, and then in chapter 36, Bashemath. And you can tell those two because you know who their fathers are. There's Elon the Hittite, and then there's Ishmael. Okay? So by process of deduction, you find out that, okay, well, the third wife, unless Esau had four, and one of them is left out of chapter 36, it looks like Judith is the same as Aholibamah. Again, unless they're two different wives, that's a possibility. And here's the other thing. They have two different fathers. One's a Hivite, the other one's a Hittite. One's Anah, the Hivite, the other one is Beeri, the Hittite. So what happened there, I can't tell you, because I don't see it in the text. Okay, so yeah, trying to figure out Esau's wives is kind of like playing the shell game, you know, where you got a cup, three cups, and you're trying to hide something, and you're switching them all around like this. It's confusing. But anyway, okay, let's continue on. So after the wives, okay, so then you have the children that were born. I'm not going to read them all again. But then verse 6, Well, verse 5, it says, these are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And then verse 6, and Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. So this is after Jacob and Esau met together again, when Esau met him after Jacob was coming back. And it looks like the substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, I think that's what he originally got when he came from Canaan where his father was. And I don't think that's talking about like after. So if you look at chapter 33, or 32 rather, and verse 3, Esau, the messengers came to Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So Esau was already in Seir, which is the land that Edom would eventually inhabit. So he's already there. So I think the stuff that it's talking about that he has here, that he got in the land of Canaan, I think that was from earlier. I think that was from before time. But it also says he went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. So the best that I understand is that Esau was in Seir. Like he's from Canaan. That's where his family is. That's where Isaac is. Okay? He goes into Seir. I think he was doing some kind of a military campaign there. And that's why he's got this army of guys with him. And then he comes from Seir up north to meet with Jacob. And then he returns to Seir. We see in chapter 33. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And then Jacob went back toward the west and went back to Canaan. So, but then the thing is, they couldn't dwell together, it says in verse 7, for their riches were more than that they might dwell together. And really the riches that it's talking about is the cattle. You can pile up gold and silver and, you know, you can live together with that. But you got cattle, you need a lot of land. And these guys had a tremendous amount of cattle. You see, you read a few chapters ago, the present that Jacob gave to his brother Esau, that was a massive amount of cattle. And Jacob didn't give him everything that he had. He gave him a small part of what he had. Jacob was very wealthy in cattle. Esau obviously was very wealthy in cattle also. And they just, the space did not allow them to dwell together in the same area. It looks a lot like what happened earlier with Abraham and Lot. And there was a strife between their cattle. And Abraham's like, you know what? We're brethren. We don't want to let the strife of our herdmen, you know, carry over to us. And it's better to just dwell at peace and give some space and not have this this continual strife. So they separated there. And you might say, well, wouldn't it have been better if Esau and Jacob, you know, they're brothers, they live together and dwell together? And actually, no, it's probably better that they separated. God gave them each different lands. Canaan was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Esau was not going to inherit that. He lost the birthright. He lost the blessing. But God was going to be gracious to him and give him another land. And the scripture specifically talks about that. We can go there, actually. This is Deuteronomy chapter 2. And this is when Israel is going back into the land of Canaan after they left Egypt. And in Deuteronomy 2, verse 4, he says, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. God gave Seir to Esau. So, and later on in that chapter, he's like, I gave it to them just like I gave you your land. So there you go. Esau was meant to live in Seir. God gave it to him for possession. We might get back to that other chapter. I'm not sure. Okay, let's continue on. So verses, I'm going to go through this section by section just to give you an idea of what these different sections are. So verses 9 to 14, this is the list of the sons of Esau's sons. And that's why you see some of the repetition. Because in the first verses, like verse 4, 5, he goes through the direct sons of Esau by his three wives. And then you get to verses 9 to 14. And now it's talking, it goes through those five sons again. And it talks about who their sons are. Verses 15 to 19, it says, these were the dukes of the sons of Esau. And again, I'm not going to read through the list of the names again, but these were the dukes of the sons of Esau. And then he goes through these same sons. Most of them are the same. There's one exception. Most of them are the same as the list that you just read. So, but now he calls them dukes. What's a duke? Well, it's like a chieftain. It's like a kind of a ruler that's less than a king. He's like a ruler over a clan or a principality, but not quite a king. And all of these sons of Esau's sons, they're all dukes. It calls them all dukes. There's one exception in verse 16. That I saw, it says, so when it talks about the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, earlier on, it says the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatim, and Kenaz. But then you get down to verse 15, and they're all dukes now, but he also includes Duke Korah among the sons of Aholibama, or I'm sorry, the sons of Eliphaz. So I don't know why Korah is in there. He might be the son of one of these other guys. I really don't know. Okay. So that's one list of dukes, and there's two more lists of dukes in this same chapter. So verses 15 to 19, like I said, these are the dukes. One, the focus, though, that you see here is that you keep seeing this phrase, that came of. Let's see. Like verse 16, these are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. And verse 18, again, these were the dukes that came of Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. So the focus here is more on these are the dukes because of the clan or because of the family. These are the dukes that came from this particular person, okay? And also, notice it says, these were the dukes that came of Aholibama, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. There's dukes tied with, not a son, but actually with this woman, okay? That I think that's going to come into play later on in the chapter. Anyway, verses 20 to 28, now we're kind of shifting and we're not talking about Esau's family anymore. We're talking about the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land. If you go back to Genesis chapter 14, and this is the first place these guys are mentioned. Genesis chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7, actually. So verse 6, it says, so this is, remember, like the First World War, there's four kings against five. Verse 6, one of the peoples that were smote were, verse 6, the Horites in their Mount Seir. So there were people there called Horites at that time, and it says Mount Seir, but I don't even know if it's Mount Seir at the time when this is happening. Seir might have been a name that was given to it later on. There's actually a man named Seir who we're reading about now. But also, verse 7, it says, and they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites. Guess what? They smote the country of the Amalekites, but the Amalekites weren't actually living there yet. How do I know that? Because Amalek wasn't born until chapter 36. And this is way back in chapter 14. So Moses, years, centuries later, he's calling and he's looking way back in time and saying, this is the country of the Amalekites before the Amalekites were there. He's just calling it out like that's the place that we're talking about. Okay. Back to chapter 36. So the Horites were already living in this place, Mount Seir, before the sons of Esau came. So verse 20, it says, these are the sons of Seir the Horite. I'm going to skip most of these, just talk about the one that's most interesting. So if you look at your chart here that I passed out, toward the bottom you see Seir the Horite. And you can see that he has seven sons. And there's seven sons listed under him, starting in verse 20. And it says that they're his sons, they're his children. But actually, one of them, which is Anah, is mentioned in verse 24. It says, these are the children of Zibeon. Both Aja and Anah, this was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these. Now, which Anah are we talking about? Because there's the son of Seir, and then there's also the son of Zibeon. Okay? Well, it says the children of Anah were these. Dishon and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. So the Anah that we're talking about is the father of Aholibamah, who's one of Esau's wives. So if you trace this thing out, and I did my best on this chart, but and it looks like it's maybe cut off from the top there, but up at the top, Seir is the father of Zibeon, and Zibeon is the father of Anah, but in this list of seven sons, it counts Anah among the sons of Seir, even though it looks like from the text that he's his grandson. Why is that? I'll give you my best guess. Okay? If you go later on in the book of Genesis to Genesis chapter 48, I'll tell you what I think may be happening here. So Genesis chapter 48. And verse 5, this is when Jacob meets the two sons of Joseph, okay? And he says, now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And actually what he did right there, and it says this also later on in I think it's First Chronicles. But basically, his two firstborn sons, Reuben and Simeon, he's basically canceling their birthright and giving it to the two sons of Joseph, who are actually his two grandsons. So now, if you like look at that amended list of his sons, he's kind of like, yeah, Reuben and Simeon, you guys don't count anymore in order of the birthright. I'm actually sticking these guys in their place. So that might be something that happened here, why it lists Ada as both a son of Seir and his own son, what's his name again? Zibion. So it might be counting his grandson as his son in this case. Okay, so those are the Dukes of the Horites. That goes down to... well, that's the list of his sons. In verses 29 to 30, it specifically calls them out as being the dukes. It says, the dukes that came of Hori among their dukes in the land of Seir. So Hori would be the ancestor of Seir the Horite. Okay? I know this is a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to give you an overview of what's going on in the chapter. Okay, verses 31 to 39 gives you a line of kings. Okay, it says in verse 31, these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And again, I'm not going to go through the list of names again, but... so what happened is Esau goes and dwells in Mount Seir, and all his sons' sons, they become dukes. They're heads of different families there. They're kind of like different tribes. But then, just like Israel, 12 tribes, they get united under one king. Before that ever happens, actually, this is before any king reigned over the children of Israel, there were kings reigning in the land of Edom. So you had all these dukes, but then you also had kings reigning, and there's a long line of them here. And this happened before there was any king over the children of Israel. Finally, the last part of the chapter, verses 40 to 43, it says, these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau. And you're like, wait a minute. Didn't we already read about the dukes that came of Esau? Well, this is a little bit different list. It says, according to their families, after their places by their names, Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth. And you read these names and you're like, wait a minute. If these guys are the dukes of Edom, why are the names different? Like, who are these guys? I didn't read these guys among the sons of Esau. So... my best understanding of this section at the end here is that the earlier section was more about where these dukes came from. Is about these dukes came of this person, or these dukes came of that person. Okay? But then when you get to this list, notice how it ends here. It says, after their places, verse 40 and verse 43, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. So I think the earlier part was more focused on the dukes that came from the family, and this one is more focused on the dukes of the different places. That's more based on a region. Okay? One of the dukes there, you'll notice in verse 41, it says Duke Ahalibama. Well, wait a minute. Who's Ahalibama? That's a girl's name. Why does it say Duke Ahalibama? Well, Ahalibama was one of Esau's wives. Remember, I said verse 18, it said, the dukes that came of Ahalibama, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. So it associates them with this woman, but then it says one of the dukes is Ahalibama, and I think that's not talking about a specific person. I think it's more talking about this is like the clan that had that name. So I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. There's a lot more that we could explore in this chapter. A lot of it's just kind of tracing through these different lines. There are some interesting things in this chapter. One of the dukes is named Teman, okay? And Teman, it says the land of Temani also. And then later on in the book of Job, you'll read about Eliphaz the Temanite, who, by the way, Job's three friends, although they weren't correct in that matter, they were very wise men. And later on in the Bible, I think it's in... I may not have written it down. I did. Jeremiah chapter 49, it talks about the wisdom of the men of that land, the Temanites. You'll get little pieces. Like, here's the thing. Moses is writing this chapter to explain the origins of the nation of Edom to the Israelites because they were their neighbors. And they were also related to them. They were twin brothers. So he's giving some background. He brings out certain names. A big one that appears in here is Amalek. There's a lot in the Bible said about Amalek. It's one of the nations that God hated and wanted to destroy. And there's other ones here, but... yeah. Like I said, it's not a deeply spiritual chapter. If it is, that part's kind of gone over my head. But we're pretty much out of time. So I think we're just going to end it there. And if you'd like to talk with me about this afterward, I'll be available. All right, thanks for being in Sunday school.